Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Cooler, and my guest today is Assemblyman John McDonald. And John is here to conduct a virtual town hall meeting. If you would like to talk to John, please give us a call at 347-539-5129 and share your name and your concern on hashtag Focus on Albany. So, John, what do you think of the State of the State message?
Well, there's a couple thoughts there, Cynthia, and good morning to you and Happy New Year, of course. I think, you know, the first aspect is that it was more than just the State of the State. As you know, it was the State of the State, and it was also the budget message, all wrapped up into one. And therefore, not surprisingly, it was a somewhat lengthy presentation. I mean, I think all said and done, it was almost 2 hours. Was an opportunity to really look back on the successes that we've achieved. I think sometimes we tend to forget what we did yesterday and just worry about today and tomorrow. And although you can't rest on yesterday's laurels, you need to kind of, you know, remind people where we were and where we're going. And I think the governor laid that out very appropriately. A lot of items shared in all different aspects. As I said to many of those who asked, the speech truly reflected the diversity of New York State. And, you know, for those of us here in the Capital Region, we may not always appreciate all the diversity that happens. I know in my hometown of Cohoes, sometimes we lead little sheltered lives on certain areas. And once you step out onto a different stage, you start to see a lot of the issues, which really makes New York tick in many aspects.
I'll tell you what did not please me about Cuomo's speech and budget talk is the fact that the mayor of Albany had asked for $12 million to close the budget deficit in the city of Albany. And with all of the money that he was, you know, saying he was going to give to this and that and the other thing, you know, Cuomo practically grew up in Albany. He went to CBA, he went to Albany Law School, and now he, you know, he's governor. He completely turns his back on the city. I'm very unhappy about that. How do you feel?
Well, now you're talking like an Albanian there, that's for sure. So anyways, you know, it's interesting. First of all, I am not surprised that it's $12.5 million, not $12 million. It's $12.5 million that is what the mayor is seeking from the state. And, you know, people should know that the mayor has done a very good job of identifying what is truly a legitimate gap. When you compare all the aid to comparable cities, when you compare the need, a lot of people think that Albany doesn't need the money because that's where all the jobs are. What they don't realize is that the poverty rate in the city of Albany is at the same level, if not more, than some of the larger urban cities throughout the area. So that's kind of contradicts the fact that all the jobs are here. A lot of the jobs are in the suburbs. They're in my hometown of Cohoes. They're in Clifton Park and Bethlehem and Gilderland. So we really need to take a more comprehensive look at the aid that is shared with the bigger cities. Albany fares much worse than most of the cities. I always look at the example of the city of Utica, and I wouldn't want to trade places. The city of Utica gets much more aid per capita than the city of Albany. And at the same token, over 60% of the property in the city of Albany is tax exempt. And therefore, this becomes really what the mayor has been focusing on, which is a taxpayer exhaustion issue. Now, candidly, I didn't expect the governor to include it in the budget. I can tell you that myself and the mayor and Member Fahey and Senator Breslin have been working very closely with all parts of the administration to make sure they accurately see the financial consequence, the financial situations that are here in the city of Albany. I've been very clear. March 31st is the day I'm going to worry when the numbers are not there. I was not expecting it now. I'd be surprised to see it in the 21-day amendments, in 19 days. It's at the end of the day, April 1st, because let's face it, when you listen to the governor's speech the other day, which was very, very complete, it covered a lot of areas. There were a lot of things mentioned. Some of those are not going to be there come March 31st as well. So we can worry about what was not mentioned, and we can also understand that things that were mentioned may not see the light of day by the time the process is done when the governor negotiates the budget with my colleagues in the legislature.
If you have a question or a comment for Assemblyman John McDonald, the number is 347-539-5129. And state your name and your concern, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. John, if the $12.5 million does not materialize, what do you foresee? Although I know you live in Cohoes, but you work in Albany, and I, as a resident of Albany, I'm worried. What's going to happen if that money doesn't come through?
I'm not going to give you my own opinion. The mayor has actually shared different programs that she would have to take a look at. And to be honest with you, it would be impacting many departments. One would have to look at public safety. The neighborhood engagement units that are out there in the neighborhoods are very busy, but those possibly could be pulled back. There might be an impact on fire services, which really is more EMS at this day and age, but that's a critical service as we rely on the community to take care of more and more people who are deciding rightfully to choose to live in their neighborhoods versus a nursing home. The youth employment programs, which has always been a very large program in the city of Albany, would obviously be impacted, and the list goes on and on and on. Tough decisions. There's already been tough decisions made as the mayor has tried to streamline efforts and has cut out millions of dollars of waste, but the reality is there's still a long way to go. And it needs to be done collaboratively. The important aspect is that all those involved in the process are very keenly aware of the situation. To be honest with you, it speaks to a larger urban agenda. Myself and Senator Breslin are honored to represent five cities, which is the most of any other legislator in either house throughout the state of New York. The cities have great virtues. They have rich history. They have great opportunity for investment. But at the same token, they also have large concentrations of individuals. They have large concentrations of individuals that, are looking and living in what's affordable housing. Large concentrations of individuals who truly have needs. Not to say they all do, but a lot do. And they, and it's important that we be able to continue to provide those services. I mentioned earlier about, EMS, and this goes back to my community of Cohoes as well. The ambulance service is there at the senior facilities regularly and for good reason, because, we have more and more people living in the community versus the nursing home. It's part of a state directive to try to find more cost-effective care. But, let's face it, we're relying on the communities to be there to help these individuals in their time of need. And the reality is that comes at a cost. And it's a cost that is well documented. And at the same token, we need to invest in these cities to help them remain sustainable. So it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It's well documented. City of Troy is having its challenges as well. And, we have a new mayor who is only, 15 days into the new job, 16 days into the new job, but there are some major issues that are going to be in place as well over there. So, what I think Albany has going for it, and I think Troy has going for it as well, is that Albany was one of the first communities to step up to the plate and go before the governor's fiscal restructuring board and say, we need help. And the interesting part is the restructuring board looked at all of Albany and looked at all their financial situations, all the other attributes that they have and the challenges that they have, and kind of came back and said, you know what, you're doing a lot here. You should be doing a little bit more of this, which the mayor's followed up on. And by the way, if you could ever swap out all your light bulbs, you might be able to change, you might be able to save some money over 30 years. The bottom line is that these communities are doing a lot of what they need to do, but can the fiscal restructuring board be a vehicle, take communities to a certain point where we can then bring them out of fiscal challenges? Because if we don't, the services are going to be, they won't be eliminated, but they're going to be severely diminished. And it's the residents and the taxpayers that will pay the price. I mean, I give the mayor credit. It was gutsy. But I think the message, and I've heard this very clearly, you're right. I start my day in Cahoes and end my day in Cahoes. And I hit a lot of my eight communities every day. But arguably, I probably spend the majority of my waking hours in the city of Albany. And as I've worked through the district and worked through the neighborhoods, the taxpayers are exhausted by the taxes when you combine education and local government. They're exhausted from all three, whether it's county, school, or city. We need to do something. And here's where the tax cap has a rub. The tax cap makes sense. The tax cap will never go away. It may adjust itself as time goes on, but it'll never go away. In people's minds, they know taxes will not rise more than 2% in almost 99.9% of the communities. However, what we have not done in New York State that I really think we need to really have a strong conversation and action on is the fact that you look at our neighbors in Massachusetts. They had a 2.5% tax cap. It's a hard 2.5%, not what we're seeing now, which is down to 0.16%. But the state also provided additional revenue, unrestricted revenue, to local governments to help them remain fiscally solvent and to make sure that they're able to continue to provide the services. We haven't done that yet, and I think that's part of the larger dialogue.
You're listening to John McDonald on the virtual town hall meeting. If you have a question or concern for the assemblyman, please call 347-539-5129 and state your name and your question or concern. Hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. John, you were the mayor of Cahoes for a number of years before you became the state assemblyman, and I'm sure you know a lot of different mayors throughout the state. Do you think Albany is faring better, the same, or less than cities across the state are?
Well, I think it depends on how you define that. Faring better in what aspect? I see a lot of excitement in regards to investment in the city, which is exciting, particularly in the downtown area, which really had struggled over the last, had struggled over a period of time. I do not, I think fiscally the city is struggling. That's pretty well documented, and it's a challenge. Another area where we're heightened focus on is to make sure that there's opportunity provided to all citizens of the community to get a great education, but not only that, but to do something with their careers, to get jobs. And with that comes the building of neighborhoods. As I remember back in 2012 when I was campaigning, walking through the south end of Albany and West Hill and Arbor Hill and the Mansion neighborhood, and those are all part of the district. And, it was very clear that, unfortunately, with urban flight, the middle, and this happened to many cities, but it was very pronounced in the city of Albany, is the middle class just got up and walked away, just moved out to the suburbs, and it left a lot of properties behind. And, some properties have not survived today. Some are still struggling, as there's hundreds of properties that have been foreclosed upon. But at the same token, many individuals have felt left behind. And it's not any one particular person's fault. It's not any one person. You could say that person did this and that person did that. But we really need to make sure, particularly starting with our youth, that they're given every opportunity to become self-sustainable. the challenges that are going on in some of the neighborhoods and within the households are very challenging. You know, I represented a district that has a high minority concentration, and for so long that community has felt left behind. And, you know, I can tell you that there are many people that have made successful lives going forward, but there are many more that really want to move forward, and that's why we're focusing on key entities like the Capital South Campus Center as being that beacon of hope for individuals, an area where a person can come in and finish their high school equivalency exam, a person can start to take some job training programs, whether it's something as maybe a job as a flag person, or maybe it's somebody who's morphing into the building trades. We have businesses coming into that Capital South Campus Center to develop programs to train individuals so they can hire them and get them jobs, which is fantastic. But we need to spread the word. We need to get more people involved, and it needs to become infectious. So I know I digressed a little bit because you were asking how is Albany fair against other communities. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that the big cities all along the Erie Canal Trail, from Albany to Buffalo, all have their warts. They all have their struggles by every stretch of the imagination, but there are bright lights as well. And the capital city does have many bright lights, but at the same token, I can tell you this, at least from the elected officials' perspective, and I share this with my other colleagues, we're not ignorant to the issues. Not ignorant at all. I was very pleased and heartened that the governor included Albany and Troy in the 10-city effort when it comes to the $25 million to take a large step towards poverty eradication. Now, $25 million is not going to cut it. But what it's going to do is really allow us to get everyone's eyes focused in the right direction. And I think that's always the challenge because, let's face it, Cynthia, whenever there's problems, there's not just one single entity or person or avenue to solve the problem. There's a multitude of ways to do it. And that's what we've got to focus on.
Now, what did you like about the governor's State of the State and budget message?
What did I like?
Yeah.
Is that what you asked? What did I like? There's a lot to like. I like his ethics reform package. I think we could do a little bit more, but I like it because he made it a central part of the discussion. Granted, it was towards the tail end, but I think that's what's the old adage. We always leave the best for last. I like the plans for significant infrastructure investment, whether it's in clean water, which has been a mantra of mine since I've been in the legislature, but also our roads and bridges. And, you know, true to form, the governor is very good at partnering up with other entities, whether it's the MTA, whether it's the Thruway Authority, and really putting together a robust package that we can all sink our teeth into to find out, you know, is this the best for our communities? Let's face it. We get more jobs of construction jobs in the capital region. We need to train more people to be part of that workforce, and I think that's the critical aspect of it. So I was very pleased about that. I think it provides great opportunity. I was very pleased not only about the poverty initiative that I mentioned earlier, which is model. It's working off a model that the governor started in Rochester this past summer, but I'm also very pleased about his 10-city initiative to provide $10 million to a city in each regional economic development council. I think it's a great opportunity, and you know, here's the rub. It's a great opportunity for a city to really land a significant amount of money to create jobs and to grow their tax base, which is what the mission is behind this. The governor's been very clear, cities have to be self-sustainable. I agree, cities have to be self-sustainable. The challenge is that, you know, for myself and Senator Breslin, is that, you know, we represent five cities. Well, if there's only one city that's going to be awarded, you know, we want to advocate for all. So that's always going to be our challenge on how we deal with that. But the reality is it's an urban agenda. I'm happy to hear that. That's important.
Well, the Assembly and Senate, there's two new leaders. Plus, this is going to be an election year. Do you see a lot coming out of this session, or will there be kind of like, okay, let's wrap this up quick and go home and run for re-election? Do you see substantial stuff coming out of this session?
I do. First of all, the budget is always substantial to begin with. It's just, you can't help it. It's $145 billion. It's going to have an impact with somebody somewhere, right? What I think is going to be interesting is the budget is going to have, is going to really absorb a lot of the air out of the room. But there are other issues that either will be part of the budget or after the budget that are very critical and important. I mentioned earlier the whole ethics reform package. That's critical. And it can be done during the budget process. It doesn't have to be. Honestly, I feel it's such a priority. It should be done before the budget's over. It should be done by March 1st. I would like to see it done before that time, but we really have to have a lot of dialogue. The governor's package cuts on both sides of the House, whether it's Republican or Democrat or Assembly and Senate. The governor is tipping a few sacred cows on both of our ends, and that's understandable. And quite frankly, when you do that, it gets everybody to kind of talk and work things out. I think here in the Capital Region, an initiative that's been a very hot topic is ride-sharing, and particularly Uber and Lyft, which are two of the many companies that provide ride-sharing. And in our response is due to the fact that, you know, Albany's a funny city. We do not have the ability to provide a critical mass of transport all year long to make these taxi companies that sustainable just on taxi business. Because let's face it, most of the taxi companies, 80% of their business is medical transport. But we have our peaks and our troughs. We have it, you know, whether it's the bar exam, whether it's when the legislature's in session. And candidly, the taxi companies have been able to pretty much do whatever they want to do. And they've been kind of out there running their own show. We have pricing that is inconsistent. We have cabs that are not clean. There are certain codes of conduct that I've learned about with other taxi operations throughout the state that we really need to apply here. So we're taking a two-pronged approach. Legislatively, ride-sharing is something that will have to be addressed in this session. I expect it to be. The governor didn't mention it per se directly in his speech, but I am sure he's going to be instituting some kind of language because we can't just have ride-sharing in one part of the state and not in the whole state. And then secondly, you know, I've been working, and my colleague Pat Fay, he's been working alongside with me as well on this, is to work on bringing the taxi companies under a consistent operation. That's not talking about running a lot of business. It's talking about bringing everybody to the same level of service. And we're working with the larger municipalities to establish model codes and ordinances that they can all say, here's how we're going to operate. And the bottom line is we want consistency. Let's face it. The Albany Capital Center comes online in the first quarter of 2017, so almost a little bit over a year from now. And that's going to be an exciting opportunity to grow our economy in the Capital Region. And the Rivers Casino will be online in 2017 at some point, from what I understand. We need to up our game in regards to how people perceive us. And trust me, people perceive us based on the airport that they enter and the taxi ride they get, or the train station they enter and the taxi service they receive there. Now, fortunately, we've got great buildings now, both at the train station and at the airport. But the taxi service, it needs improvement. And we want to work with the companies. We're not looking to throw anybody out. I'm a small business person. I get it. I don't want them to go out of business. We want to get stuff done.
Now, I remember a number of years ago when Key Corp left Albany. This was their main hub, and they went to Cleveland. And I remember the CEO saying he didn't like the fact that Albany Airport was not an international airport. Because of the airport growing, has that really helped the Capital District a lot?
I believe it has. I truly believe it has. The Albany Airport continues to grow each year. And you know, it's critical, particularly, you know, as we've seen growth not only at SUNY Nanotech, or excuse me, SUNY Poly, but also up in Saratoga, in Global Foundries in Malta. It's critical. I believe that you know, the upgrading of the airport and the upgrading of the train station were critical pieces to show that the capital region matters. You know, people can't help themselves. We judge the book by the cover. We judge first impressions. And you think back to the way the Albany Airport used to be and the Amtrak station used to be. Ooh, that was not a good impression by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. So, in our closing moments, John, do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share with the listening audience? I think all of your constituents are kind of shy this morning. We're going to have to work on them for them to be not so much wallflowers. So, last few minutes, well, I'm going to ask you for this dance, and I'm going to ask you what you see within the next couple of months that will be exciting, and share your thoughts about your district.
Well, the next couple months are going to be solely dedicated to the budget. And, you know, we will be meeting with droves and droves of constituents and advocacy groups to make sure that their concerns are being part of the discussion. Doesn't mean everyone's going to get what they want, because at the end of the day, we still have to be fiscally responsible. But it's very critical that everyone has the option to be heard. And with that, you know, I listen very closely to the people I represent. May not always agree, but we listen. And at the end of the day, it may be funny, you mentioned how not many people have called this morning. Trust me, many people call my office, but many people love to email their thoughts and concerns, and they also use the other social media aspects. So we're very much in touch with what the concerns are of the district. It's a matter of just being able to advocate them, and in light of all of the other 149 other districts throughout the state. You know, I say this quite regularly. I didn't realize how diverse New York State was until I was in my first conference in the Democratic majority and listening to some of the members from New York City and Utica and Buffalo and the North Country and Binghamton. And you know what? We all have issues. We all have challenges, and we need to try to work and put our best foot forward to address them. And, you know, we need to take stock of when we're successful. Doesn't mean we crow about it. It just means that we move on. And at the same token, we want to make sure that there's always going to be a plentitude of work to be done. So, you know, we expect a lot of the fiscal items to be addressed during the budget process, and then the non-fiscal issues, the sometimes social issues as they call them, but other issues, other bills that I'm working on to help local governments will be addressed during the later part of the legislative session, which wraps up at the end of June.
Thank you. You've been listening to Assemblyman John McDonald, and even though you didn't have a chance to call in, if you have a comment or a question about this show, please go to Twitter, hashtag FocusOnAlbany, and share your thoughts. Assemblyman McDonald, have a great day, and thank you for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.